Then and now, I'm from the farmyard, the yard reeking of cattle dung and horse manure. I'm from copies of the Irish press, the pages divided up between family members, all trying to read the latest first. I'm from days of drawing milk to the creamery and of wild hilarity passing along the line of milk suppliers. I'm from the time of parcels coming from America, old clothes mostly, but for me it was the comics. Buffalo Bill, Hopalong Cassidy, Gene Autry, the Lone Star Ranger, heroes of my fantasy world. Those days may be gone, but these days, give me a yarn by Zane Grey or a Western movie on TG4.
Thank you. Cool. And next up, Pat Carter, come on up to the stage.
Yes, watching Mr. Constantine earlier, it occurred to me that Irish poets are like Irish dancers. We tend to keep our arms to ourselves during performance. Maybe something that should change. But not right now. This is a piece about a contemporary teenager who believes she's the reincarnation of the Maid Orleans. Aged 8, it came to me in a dream. I had been Joan of Arc in a past life. And at 12, a tarot reader of Charing Cross Road, with lightning and rain smiting the pavement, confirmed it. My spread was a fascia of swords and staves, and all the war-making cards with faces. God appears to have forsaken me in this life. I cannot ride a horse or speak French. The closest I ever get to wearing armor is my corduroy duffel coat donned on a turbulent day. I visited an earl's country mansion just so I could touch his ancestors' steel breastplates. When nobody was looking, I left the smears of my fingers and palms. Babysitting is the highest honor I have risen to. I am 14 years old. I feel time running away like a spoilt dog. One child I mind, Oliver, has curls and luminous eyes of lapis lazuli lifted from a Medici tempera. His nappies reek of myrrh and frankincense, and with assured gaze he stares often beyond my shoulder in awe. If I could turn fast as light, I know I would see the Virgin, waiting for the moment to speak, to intone on the will of her son, on what I should say when I call on the Queen, or summon David Cameron, or when Francois Hollande seeks out my counsel. Then I would need no horses. A helicopter gunship will be my chariot, and I will venture forth to dispense God's indubitable works.
Thank you very much, Pat. Delightful. And don't forget, guys, the Cork Short Story Festival starts up tomorrow. Definitely want to go to. Next up, Hazel Connolly.
Yay!
Hazel Connolly.
From England. This poem I'm going to do is the very first poem that I ever performed when I first started writing 6 years ago, and it's called Sexy at 60. But the thing is, I can add a year on every year. I can say 61, 62, Well, this year it's going to be 66, so this is called Sexy at 60. Technology. I love it. I was fit and feisty at 50. It was no big deal, because that's how half a century is supposed to feel. In my 60s, I'll take stock, start making great plans, ignoring all the I can, all the you can't, sorry, and embracing all the I can's. Can I be sexy at 60? And try all the fashion and fads, wear stockings and suspenders, and Joan Collins shoulder pads. I can deal with sexy at 60. I'll wear Vivian Westwood clothes. I'll go out on the town wearing all my buttons and bows. I'm going to be sexy at 60. I'll wear Gok One lingerie. I'll find myself a toy boy and maybe lead him astray. Swift and sexy at 60 when I get my Jimmy Choo's, dancing the night away to the sound of rhythm and blues. Oh, I want to be sexy at 60, but age is state of mind. I'm preparing body at keep fit so as not to be left behind. But first, I have to deal with old skin, bad teeth, grey hair, then remove all the unwanted growths from just about everywhere. Then I'll definitely be sexy at 60, and undoubtedly done it all. The only problem is, most of it I simply won't recall.
Thank you very much. Next up we have Alexis, with a little scribble after your name.
Alexis. Alright,
of course there's a scribble.
That was a hard act to follow. Okay, this poem is an astronomy poem. Okay, like, I'm an art student full time, so I like to do like astronomy and accounting in my spare time. Like normal things, you know. Serious things. Okay. It's called At Night. At night through telescope, I am close to the void, the infinite and limitless, that the normal act to avoid. I will it until I almost can, feel intrepid of falling into sky, a trepid sense of vertigo that I'm willing through the eye.
Thank you very much, Scribble. Alexis. Mary O'Connell.
Yay!
Yay.
This is called Tantric Awakening. Two figures in a pool of light, palms touching, eyes locked. He, a bamboo shoot. She, a willow. Swaying bodies breathe in unison. A single flute calls the fiery serpent out of sleep. Uncoiling from the base, it opens wheels of light, spinning them into fullness. Held in a surge of power, they fuse to white surrender.
Thank you very much, Mary. Next up we have Cedric. Sorry, my eyesight is going.
I like Oviedo because it gives me the inspiration from the people here. It always gives me half an hour to cross the line and speak about things I don't know. So, this one doesn't have a title, but well, that's what happened anyway. So, I broke the ice, received a cold stare. It felt like falling down a flight of stairs. But I stuck the landing, though I was head over heels. When I shook your pedestal, then I shook your pedestal to let you know how it feels. Mm. Now that we are both on the ground, I see none for my interest. You talk, you blush, you giggle and stutter. I feign attention, staring at your breast. I finally have your number, but I won't make it count, really. I'm as shallow as the waters I dip in. I'm only after your body.
Thank you very much, Cedric. Next up, Patricia Walsh, please.
Thanks, Shane. This poem doesn't have a title, it's about River Lee. See, the waters run deep in a consistent pirouette on a staple of traffic cones and shopping trolleys. Green is the colour and white oval wear, sinking seagulls wholeheartedly, a vision to cherish. Guaranteed continuity in troubled times, highs and lows, vicissitudes and moments. Never repeated, each move has its own distance, from itself, from others, not asking for peace. Swallowed to one's detriment, a course retrieved, now and again put speculation in their place. How could he do this? What can be done about the all-consuming river, curtailed as it is? Raw sewage is your lot, mushy on detritus, the seagulls circumambulate on dying paths. It's breaking bonds every winter in a sole pleasure to respect its power to flood to disaster. Channel around an island, reasonably freer, to cut through weirs and channels narrow, dancing through leeways and rubbish strewn, a feast for vermin and wings. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Next up, can we have Philip Spillane?
Hey. This is based on something that actually happened. If the wasp could have whispered its conflicts, would I have listened? Or would have impulsively wiped the air and wish it away from its wielding, hanging pin, balance off its end? But it was too dead to spin. It crawled and tickled, itched my skin. And when I looked, I was surprised to see him sitting there, single sap breast bobbing on its back, that pulsed the stin that should have sunk in my power of size and pride. I calmly puffed and blew, and it flew off onto my bed, but didn't care. It didn't fly away. He instead explored my guitar capo, its black scars as dark as the ambient iron. She rested it on the clasp that's supposed to grip and crush the strings, as if she's waiting for my impulse to use it and clamp it on my guitar neck. With him inside, she clambers out of its shade and disappears back in it again. What's she waiting for? Fly, sting me, you had me. Why are you conflicting, hesitating? Why are you like this? Are you single, alone, and desperate? Mm. And if you could whisper, tell me these things, should I listen away, forget our family's conflicts, and be as equals? But overthinking them, the feeling of fear, anger, hate, and most importantly, alone. Do we truly share them? As I am man and you a wasp? Even if they share words, do they share sentiments? Triggers? And if so, does that mean we are connected? We do share one thing though, and this cannot be questioned. We are both living. We are both breathing. Or you may conclude that I'm overthinking it, and this wasp is just an empty shell. Thank you.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, Philip. Next up, Sean Bent.
Thank you. I honestly was not planning to read tonight, so this is as prepared as it should be. Typically, I write all my poems on Google Drive, which is great because I can write five words here and it's instantly saved to the cloud. but it has a disadvantage sometimes because the version saved on my phone might be different to the version saved on the cloud in the middle of the list. And that seems to be happening a lot with this particular poem, so I'm not actually sure which version this is, but we'll go with it anyway. This doesn't have a title. Lately, I've wondered, what would I say to my bullies if I met them again? I've spent days thinking about that. Not just lately. Every year since certain scars appeared in my psyche, I thought about it. I tell them, truth is I wouldn't know what to say. There's just too much about how bullying shaped my experiences growing up. Not shaped me in the careful, sandcastle, benevolent creator kind of way. More like smashed to pieces and spat on and blamed for my own failure to be structurally sound. But I'd have to say something, right? So I give the too long didn't read version. How about you made childhood suck! Are you happy? Are you satisfied with how you harmed another's mind so you could climb on the local social ladder of the time? Don't get me wrong, we've all been an arse to get ahead, but consistently targeting a body ends in red for your victim, who has to live with the isolation and the social anxiety you inflicted, who fear to remember what should have been happy memories, opportunities to make friends and be a part of the community, lost. And afterwards, the unwillingness to accept me, to look in the mirror and say, you are unworthy. You are disgusting, undeserving of respect or affection. Ugly, every word you say is boring. No girl could want you, and this world would be better off if you fucking killed yourself. That is what your bullying has done to me. Yeah, that's probably too long. Definitely didn't read. But yeah, it helps to write it out, you know? I mean, it's not like speaking up about it ever did any good. I don't know what I would say to my bullies, but I know what was said to me. More victim-blaming shoulds and should-nots disguised in the guise of care. Well, you wouldn't be bullied if you grew a pair of balls. Yeah, if you're a boy and open up about bullying, be prepared for the misogynist comments. No, I know women, and they're stronger than me, and they get bullied too. That explanation does not compute, so instead you tell me, toughen up and don't be a fag. Homophobic hate disguised as advice, or simply stick up for yourself. The reason I need help is because I can't. Or just ignore the bully. Oh, what, when? Well, they're humiliating me in front of everyone I ever liked, or when I'm being held down and beaten to within an inch of my life. Then, will I ignore them? And my favorite, don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. It doesn't exist. And now, years later, it's variation. Get over it. Yeah, we've all had tough times. I definitely don't want to hold on to a grudge at the expense of my capacity to love, but do you know who says don't bring your issues up? People who have never experienced the same thing. Or those who don't want to look inside themselves, afraid what they might find. The truth about who they were when they were young. You may think you do good but you're telling me and others to shut up, but you are part of the problem. Because silencing is violence and that makes you one of them. I don't know what I would say to my bullies, or what they would say to me. Maybe they regret what they did and would tell me I'm sorry. But I wouldn't care for apologies. I don't need some careful reassurance that they're a better person now. Why couldn't you have been a better person then? But it would have made a difference. Maybe I would just make one request to my bullies if I talk to them again. One demand. Ask them to do one thing. I just want you, if you ever have kids, to please educate them to be better than this. To be a better person than you were. Break the cycle. Show them how much their fists and words hurt. And use them to punch up against the real monsters and not down to create new ones. am I saying too much? Maybe am I screaming in the dark here? Maybe I don't know what I would say to my bullies if I met them again. But then, there's some things that are left unsaid. I need to start talking, so I'll talk. Maybe I'll say this like you really are here. Maybe this is the only real chance I'll ever get to say this to you.
Thank you very much, Sean. Thank you very much. Next up, Rosalind Toomey.
It's about somebody that I met only once in my life for one day, and I still remember it now, and it's called 24/7, because I guess that's how long it was. Not very good. It's nice to hear her voice again, and I don't want to be her friend, is what he said. It's nice to see me smiling and to see I've stopped lying, is what he meant. Your mind is like a parachute. It's open, but it's crashing, is what I thought. And mine is but a locked box that nobody can open, so we fought. How many roads did I say we would go until now, until they crossed? I never thought I'd be so fucking desperate to open a little tin box.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's your first time reading at Ovail, so make it a second next week. Next up, someone I don't have to encourage to read, we have Mags. Come on up.
What?
No, Mags, we're over here.
Oh, Zita! Oh, yeah.
Of course. Hello, Alexis. Hello. Oh, dear Jesus, I'm at it. I can put this down for you if you don't mind. By default, I'm afraid I have to sing because I didn't bring my poems with me. So this is part two of what I wrote in this little room. It has to be a short poem, but it just has a theme that interests me. So hopefully I'll be able to remember the melody that I wrote on the way home. This is part two. Okay. Catch a world from hand to eyes, steal one iris, kiss of sun, blend within your camouflage, drink it up and sense it through, say farewell to life's necrosis. Shed your scales of retinal fibrosis. We've come so far and stretched so high from our personal primordial goal. Tint and glamour rise the soul. Sink in velvet, suck it in. Eat dressed up plates for shiny pates. Whatever fancy tickles you. Okay. Here's another. Seamless moves to habitats, to street life, wildlife, cast out shoes. In your top hat or your raccoon hat, whatever shield works best for you. Catch a world up through your eyes, seeing silhouettes of sun. Then within your camouflage, drink it up and sense it through. Lift a world up to your eyes. Yay!
stuff as always, Meg. Next up, we're coming to the end of our list now. We have Callum Bateson.
Okay, so this last time I tried to read this, I forgot this poem, so I'm actually reading this from a page, well, modern page, not real page, but yeah. It's untitled. There's an article in the paper, and much hot beeper, about how our economy is going faster than anywhere else in Europe. Cranes castrate Poolbeck. It's a trickle-down economy, not benefiting me, but maybe if I wait a year or three. In college, safe under government grants and promises, promises of a brighter dawn, it was easy to see the recession as a rural obsession. And we did. The crash meant flat whites, vinyl, and spoken word nights. In the new cashless fever exchange space reality, using an AeroPress would safeguard my future state. Like, I lived in D8, there was no need to emigrate. But it's not the case. It's 2015, and even though we have Tinder and Nobo ice cream, my life seems to have run out of steam. Most opportunities are unpaid, enslaved in a 6-month internship, shredding paper paid by parents on a never never ladder for empty career building opportunities, with no chance to get a foot on because there are no rungs. And worse, you sit in a damp teenage bedroom, scrolling through that, dreaming of sharing flats with other precariats, even with rats, just not to have to answer the eternal question, what's for dinner? And I know it sounds entitled, and it is, and I know there are people much worse off than me on the shores of Zambezi and north of the Liffey, but someone broke the social contract that I never signed but trusted in, stretched thin my belief in a system that promises a bright life has made the double our wife. It's a never-ending sign on Tuesday in Erdogan, Thresh and Garkane, and I'm starting to wonder who even invented this sick game. Forms and forms, with box rooms and underemployment and the privilege of being on the suburbanised Green Isle, keeping those who have living in style. 3 months more, maybe I'll peck off for a while. Thank you.
Oh yeah, there's a lot I could say on that topic. We'll leave that for another day. So to finish off the night, I'm going to call on Simon, but just before I do, I want to thank Brendan, I want to thank Paul for the OVAIL night and all the OVAIL team. I'm part of it. I'm thanking myself. Thank all of you guys for being a part of this night. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for coming up. Thank you.
Okay, this is, I suppose, vaguely an event poem, given it was written on one occasion at one time. Saturday night, I was staying in Cork in a hotel, courtesy of the Diocese of Cloyne, prior to a meeting with the bishop, with survivors of Cloyne abuse, to talk about a priest. And on Sunday morning in the Irish Sun, the same priest was featured on the front page. This is a poem called Clarion. On a balcony, under a chocolate sodium city sky, orange is the night. Without dry shoes in wet weather, without a place to call home, without a caring country, without water that kills, without. Empty streets echo, an empty office blazes light. Taxis drive alone. Without an effective voice, without justice done, without justice seen to be done. Without people holding you down, without a pot to piss in. The city hall's roof lights. The river quiet, black flows gently. I cannot sleep. without resolution, without satisfactory solutions, without a way through, without a way through to, with.